Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in.
Hey, what's up? My name is Chris Ifill, lead pastor here at Grace River Church, and I want to say thank you so much for watching online at home today. Today, we are in week three of a sermon series called Winning the Battle in Your Mind. And so we're on week three of this series, and man, my hope is that you take a next step as you meet, know, and follow Jesus. We're going to jump into Romans chapter 12 right now, and this has been a spring verse that we've been using, kind of jumping off into this series, but Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. God wants to transform you not by a new wardrobe, okay? Not by a new set of friends, not by a new job. God wants to transform you by changing the way that you think. And so the big idea behind today's talk is this. You don't have to be a perfect parent, just a present one. God's grace is with you, and he's more than enough for you and your family. And so today, in the middle of this series, as we celebrate Mother's Day, I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. As we celebrate Mother's Day, as we think about parenting today, I think there's a lot to be said about parenting and parent guilt that's associated with mental health. And so I just want you to know God is crazy about you, and you may feel like a failure. You may feel like you've got shortcomings. You may feel like you may have messed up your kids. But here's what I want you to know. God can redeem all of that. And so I've done some research this week and really looking into finding a perfect family in the Bible. And so, but what I found was this, in doing my research, there is not a single family in the entire Old Testament, in the entire New Testament of the Bible that was perfect. Every family is messed up. Every family is imperfect. In fact, I just want to kind of recap some of these for you real quick. Adam and Eve, the very first parents, they had problems. They had problems with disobedience, with blame, with loss. There was a tragic sibling rivalry between Cain killing Abel, their son. And so the lesson here is that every single family needs grace and restoration. Noah's family had problems as well. Noah, the guy who built the ark. After obeying God, Noah became drunk and brought shame on his family. The lesson here is that obedience doesn't mean perfection. Righteous people will still struggle. How about Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament? They had problems with infertility, impatience, deception. They had family tension between Hagar and Ishmael. And ultimately, the lesson learned here is that God keeps his promises even when we take matters into our own hands. Then we have Isaiah and Rebekah. They had problems with favoritism between Esau and Jacob. Deceit and family division. And so if you got family problems, man, just know that happened in the Old Testament as well. We see favoritism. That's a lesson here. And what favoritism does is actually fractures family. But God still has a plan, even in the middle of all that. Then you have Jacob's family. You had a problem here with multiple wives, with jealousy, favoritism, betrayal. And then you also have the lesson here, broken families can be used for a great purpose. Then you have David's family. David, who wrote the book of Psalms, most of it. He had problems with adultery, with murder, with family dysfunction, with rebellion from his own son. And here's the thing, man. The lesson learned here is even a man after God's own heart faced generational consequences, but also found God's forgiveness. And so the last example, the seventh and last example, is Joseph and Mary. These are the sons, or these are the parents of the Son of God, Jesus. They had challenges with scandal. She was a pregnant 16 or 17-year-old woman with fear, raising the Son of God under political and religious pressure. The lesson here learned here is faithful parenting isn't about ease, but about obedience and trust. And so the reality is, you look at this list and you understand there is not a perfect family in the entire Bible. Now, there are some challenges behind parenting, okay? And so some of the challenges that I can immediately think about is like the comparison trap. Man, it's so easy to compare your family next to somebody else's family. It's so easy to find kids that are more perfect than your kids, right? It's so easy to find spouses that are more perfect maybe than your spouse. Or it's easy to find families and roles in families where you're like, man, there are definitely some perfect or seemingly perfect families out there. And I say seemingly because I know this, man, and you know this too. Just going over that Bible list of families, there is not a perfect family out there. But with social media on the rise, it's really easy for us to look at the ESPN highlight reel of another family and think, man, if only I had that. And so the comparison trap makes it challenging. Also, just constant connectivity, the fact that we're just always on social media, our kids are, always on screen time. And as a parent, it's a struggle trying to figure out, man, how much of that should I be dialed into? How much of that should I limit? I get emails and messages nearly every week about what it is that we should do as parents. You know, parents legitimately asking me how involved we should be in our kids' tech lives, in their screen time, monitoring all that. And so that constant connectivity is a challenge in parenting. I think also just unrealistic expectations on ourselves and on our kids. We have these unrealistic expectations that we're gonna be perfect and that we're gonna look perfect, all right? And the reality is, more than likely, your kids aren't living up to what you lived up to as a kid. And so we have this unrealistic expectation sometime that they're gonna be better than what we were, right? And we don't give them margin or space for error. And so we have unrealistic expectations. And then I think there's always parenting guilt, which is what we're gonna talk about a lot in this talk today. I think that we really struggle often with parenting guilt is, man, am I messing my kids up? Have I screwed up too much? Have I really messed them up for life with some of the mistakes that I've made or bad decisions that we've made or whatever? And I want you to know they can find freedom. You can find freedom from the greatest problems out there. So the problem with guilt, that last idea, is that guilt essentially replaces God's voice with your own criticism. Man, when you live with enough guilt, ultimately, you stop hearing God's voice, and all you hear is your own voice criticizing yourself. And so I think it's going to be important to hit pause on all of that so you can hear God's voice. I oftentimes struggle with ADD, and one of the struggles that I have with ADD is it often feels like I'm listening to 100 radios playing in the same room, and I can hear little tidbits of conversation and all these different things that I'm chasing sometimes. And it's really great whenever I can silence or turn off some of those radios. And man, for you, man, there are voices or thoughts in your own head that you're carrying regarding guilt. And I think it's important in order for you to hear the voice of God, for you to be able to shut off the sound of guilt in your life. God never designed you to carry guilt, shame, and regret. Man, you can be free from all of that. So replace God's voice with your own criticism. It disconnects us from God's grace. Man, when I walk around with guilt, what it does is it actually separates me from God's grace. Man, we get to be forgiven, not because of what we've done, but because of what has been done for us. But when we carry guilt around, what we're doing is we're actually forgetting about God's grace. Now, we should not use God's grace like a doormat and just continue to sin over and over and over again. The Apostle Paul addresses that specifically, that we shouldn't use, you know, that we shouldn't, because of grace, we shouldn't just let sin abound in our lives, right? But it's important for us to count on God's grace. Man, You can easily feel like a failure. You can easily feel like you've made too many mistakes. That's an easy thing to think, right? And you can allow guilt to pile up in your life, or you can decide, man, I'm gonna disconnect from all of that and connect with God's grace. The third thing is it creates fear-based parenting. Man, whenever I walk around with guilt and with shame, I just live in this constant state of, oh man, I've messed my kids up. Oh man, I've messed my family up. I've gone too far this time. And we live in this constant state of fear and anxiety because of the choices that we've made or the choices that other people have made. And as a result of it, man, we live with this fear-based parenting, always assuming the worst case scenario. And that's what creates oftentimes helicopter parents, or even what I like to call bulldozer parents. And what helicopter or bulldozer parents do is they clear the way for any problems that their kids may actually ever face. And so it creates fear-based parenting. That's what guilt does. And it also keeps us stuck in the past. Man, when you're full of guilt, you can't live for the future. You can't even live in the present because you're consumed with the mistakes of the past, your own mistakes or the mistakes of someone else. And man, that guilt that you may carry actually keeps you from living the kind of life that God intended for you to live. So let's talk about how we can replace the lies of guilt with the truth of God's grace, okay? So the lies with guilt say, man, you're failing your kids. And what's great is the Bible has something to say about all this, right? In Isaiah 40, verse 11, the Bible says, I will gently lead you. Like, God wants to lead you. Even in the middle of your mess, He wants to lead you. A lie that you can believe is that you're alone in this. And I want you to know you're not alone. In fact, I think sometimes we isolate ourselves on purpose. It's a natural reaction to pain, to guilt, to remorse and shame is to isolate. But God says, no, I am with you and I am for you in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. You can also believe this lie, man, you always mess up. Like, I'm going to always mess it up. No matter what I do, I'm going to screw it up somehow. This is that perfectionism thing that we struggle with, right? But 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 says, my power is made perfect in your weakness. God is saying that His power is made perfect when you're weak. God seems to shine through in a humble person's life. But what brings on humility, this is really key, what brings on humility is humiliation. Sometimes at our lowest point is where God shines through the strongest in our lives. So, and then another lie that we can believe is, you should be doing more. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Sometimes it's not about doing better and trying harder. Sometimes it's just resting in God's grace. Now, in some scenarios, yes, we need to get our to-do list out and we need to get some stuff together in our life. So I'm not dismissing and just saying you should take a nap every time you have a problem. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, would you rest in the fact that with Jesus, you have enough? And even if you're not the perfect parent, even if you don't have the perfect kids or the perfect circumstance or the perfect scenario, you're enough because of Jesus. So how to move from guilt to grace? So we talked about the problem, we talked about the lies and the truth, but I want to give you like real application of how it is that you can move from feelings of guilt to understanding God's grace in your own life. First of all, pause and name the guilt. Like, take a moment and name it. Like, what is it that you feel guilty about? Is it something in your past? You know, do you feel guilty about parenting decisions you made or marriage decisions that you may have made that affected your kids? Like, what is it? And just name it. Like, right now, would you just write it out? Name it. What is it that you feel guilty about? Also, speak the truth to yourself. Now, these aren't just like the power of positive words, but the truth to yourself is like, what does the Bible have to say about all of this? Well, the Bible says there's no condemnation for those who trust in Jesus. That's the truth. So the truth is, God doesn't want you to carry around all of that shame, all of that guilt. In fact, God doesn't want to put shame on you. The whole point of Jesus was that God would take shame and put it off of you. And so speak the truth to yourself and then talk to God honestly. Like, I think this whole charade that we get into sometimes of talking to God, we talk to God as if we've not screwed up or as if we have some kind of perfect life. We talk to God as if we're talking to some coworker that doesn't know what we did this weekend, right? Like, the reality is, you have a God who is omnipresent. That means that He is everywhere. And not only is He everywhere, He's also all-knowing. He's also all-powerful. And so, man, I think it's important that we would be honest with a God like that, because you can fool other people, but you can't fool God. And so, why don't we just decide this? What if we just started to talk to God honestly? That we would recognize that, man, I don't have to be the perfect parent. But instead, man, I'm a child of God. And because I'm a child of God, I'm not striving for perfectionism. I'm striving to parent my kids in a way that would honor Him. And so talk to God honestly. Also, share the load. Man, again, I think sometimes we can so easily move into isolation. You're going through something, you're feeling guilt, you're feeling regret, you're feeling shame. Man, share that with somebody. Share it with somebody in your small group. Go see a Christian counselor and talk about that and unpack some of that guilt and some of that grief that you may be carrying. Man, we need to do that. We got to share the load with others. Then also rest in your own identity. I said this earlier, but listen, you are a son or a daughter of a king. That is King Jesus. That's who you are. And so because of that, your identity is not tied up in being a perfect parent. Your identity is tied up in being a child of God. And if I'm a child of God, then I just want to parent in a way where I'm pointing my kids to this same Jesus that I was pointed to. And so rest in your identity. You are a son or a daughter of the King. So I got some next steps for you to think about a little bit as we're talking through this and wrapping up our talk today. First of all, embrace your imperfections. Man, like, own it and embrace it and count on the grace of God as a result of it. And so, man, just embrace the fact. Now, if you're a jerk, you can't embrace the fact that you're a jerk, right? Like, oh, that's just the way I am. No, we should be growing, okay? But embrace the fact that you have a story in your past. Like, embrace the fact that, man, you are a sinner. Like, you might as well own it, right? Embrace it, but also on the other side of it, man, get real with God and others. Like, man, yes, I can embrace the fact that I have made a mistake. I can embrace the fact that I've got some dirt on my skirt, that I've screwed up here and there. Like, that's important to embrace that. But also get real with God and others. I think one of the greatest ways you can combat hypocrisy in your household is owning it with your kids. Like, hey, you know what? Mom, Dad, I'm a mom or a dad. I screwed up, right? Like, just simply embracing the fact that you are not perfect. You are not Jesus Jr. So I think it's important that you get real with God and others. And how interesting would it be on Mother's Day weekend to get real with your kids and go, you know, I'm sorry for my shortcomings. And I know this, man, God loves me and I love you as my kid. And I just want to say I'm sorry for my imperfections. Like, it's okay to get real with God and others. Also, celebrate a win, even the small ones. Like, find ways to, in order for you to move from guilt into grace, find ways to celebrate wins, even if it's a small one. So, man, your kid makes the team. Your kid gets a good report on a paper. Your kid does something great at school, something great at work. Find a way to celebrate wins, and even the tiny ones. Like, send one of your kids a text. Make a phone call, right? Write a handwritten note and tell them that you appreciate them. Like, man, find a way to celebrate a win, even if it's small. And also, the fourth and last thing is this, and this is critical. Begin a relationship with Jesus. If you're going to move out of guilt into grace, you are not going to be able to do that with religious activity. You're not going to be able to do that by just doing better and trying harder. The requirement in order for you to do that is you allowing Jesus to be the Savior of your life. Again, your identity has to be in this place where you are a son or a daughter of the King. And if you're ready to give your life to Christ right now, would you just bow your heads with me for a moment? For the Christian listening, would you pray for those people that maybe haven't received Christ yet, or maybe you need to repent and just talk to God honestly, like you haven't talked to Him in a long time. But like, Today, if you're listening to this talk and you're ready to give your life to Christ, you could pray a prayer just like this. God, I admit that I need you. God, that it was my sin that kept me from you, my guilt, my shame, my regret. But God, I believe that your son Jesus came to live and die for all my mistakes, for all my guilt, for all my shame, for all my regret, all my sin. And God, today I confess with my heart and with my life, you and only you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for making me new. We pray all this in the good name of Jesus. Amen. Man, if you just prayed that prayer, I just want to be the first to congratulate you. Way to go. If you could text the word yes to the number on the screen, 636-336-2475. That's the word yes to 636-336-2475. We just want to be able to congratulate you and help you take next steps on your own spiritual journey. And so next weekend is actually child dedication at Grace River Church. Man, if you've got a child that you would like to dedicate back to God, you can go to our website at graceriver.cc/next-steps, and child dedication is right under that. We would love to help you dedicate your child back to God. And so thank you so much for watching online at home today. I can't wait to see you in person 8:30, 9:45, or 11 o'clock real soon. God bless.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take. And you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.